We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter number 22. I'm going to read a story this morning out of the Bible, and we'll tell you kind of the history behind it and everything, and then we'll draw an application from it. If you find 1 Kings chapter 22, if you'll stand with me. First Kings chapter number 22. Look at verse number 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. God, I pray that you'd guide my words. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be open and receptive to your word and what you would have for us this morning. I pray that you'd help Brother Young as he's teaching junior church, and Mrs. Walton as she's teaching primary church. Lord, I pray for the nursery. Help every aspect of what's going on here this morning, that it would honor you. And Lord, choose these lips of clay. Lord, I want to be used by you this morning. I pray that if somebody's not saved, here this morning, that they would be saved today. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about this. Accidents or appointments? Accidents or appointments? If you look at 1 Kings chapter number 22, we have two men. We're presented with two different men. The name of one of them is Ahab, and the name of the other one is Jehoshaphat. Okay? The King Ahab is the king of Israel, and King Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. This is after the kingdom has been divided, and it's an interesting story, and it's kind of a fascinating story. I like it. There's a battle involved in it, and blood and gore and all kinds of interesting things. And but what we have here is Jehoshaphat comes down to King Ahab in Judah, and they start talking. Now, first of all, that was a bad idea. If you know the life of Ahab, Ahab was one of the most wicked kings that Israel had ever had. And Jehoshaphat really wasn't a bad person. But what I want to talk about this morning is these two men and how they go to battle on the same day, and how similar these two men could have been, but how choices in their lives made them different in a lot of ways. And as we go this morning, and we're going to look at the battle, and we're going to look at this, we're going to find that one of these two men is appointed to die. One of these two men has an appointment with death, if you would. Now, there are some things that, you know, everybody has appointments in life. I think the older we probably get, the more appointments we have with doctors. Okay, seems like everybody I talk to, you know, an older person, they've got 4 or 5 doctor's appointments during the week. And younger people, we have doctor's appointments too, just not quite as many, and for different ailments, okay? But we all have appointments we have to keep. I'm building my house right now, and I've had some appointments that people were supposed to bring me things. And if you're ever in construction, you know that very rarely do people properly keep the appointments that they are supposed to keep. You know, I'm supposed to get concrete at 8 o'clock in the morning so we can pour concrete while it's cool. And they don't show up till 11:30. And, you know, they didn't keep their appointment. I'm supposed to get trusses at 9 o'clock in the morning. They don't show up till 4:30 that afternoon. You know, those things are, when you have an appointment, it's frustrating when the person that you're supposed to meet is not there. I hate going to the doctor's office. I think most of you would probably agree with me. Nobody just cherishes your doctor. I do not. But what gets me on my doctor is, you know, my appointment would be for 10 o'clock. and I show up at 5 till 10, and I go in, and I sit in the waiting room for 30, 45 minutes. Well, you know, I know that their time is valuable. It must be. I mean, I'm paying $150, $200 an hour for their time, but obviously my time is worth nothing, okay? But, you know, everybody has appointments. Everybody has an appointment that you have to keep, okay? And appointment is just simply a time when you meet with something, when you meet with someone. And some people say things just happen in life, okay? I don't necessarily believe that things just happen. I don't necessarily believe in bad luck. I don't necessarily believe in good luck. I believe that there are appointments that God has set up for us, divine appointments that we are destined to keep. You know, these two men that we're going to talk about, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they both have some appointments. And I'm going to talk about three appointments this morning that all of us will keep. Three appointments that all of us will keep. Is it an accident, Brother Chad? Do things just happen that way? No. I believe it's an appointment. It's an appointment. The first appointment that I believe that everyone, and obviously everybody here, has already made, is your appointment at your birth. Okay? Everyone was appointed a time that you were to be born. If you were not appointed that time, you would not be sitting here this morning. Okay? You've been appointed that time. You know, one of the reasons that abortion is so wrong is because God has set up an appointment for somebody to be born, and somebody's stealing that appointment. Somebody's taking that chance, that opportunity. I do not believe that God makes a mistake. Everybody that's on earth, everybody that's sitting in the front rows here, the young people, everybody, God has put you here for a reason. It wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. Brother Chad, I don't have any purpose in life. There is a purpose. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but there is a purpose. You know, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they both had an appointment at some point for their birth. They were both alive people at this day. When Jehoshaphat came down to see Ahab, they were both alive. They were talking, they were communicating. And young people, I just want to say, every one of you, you have something special that God wants you to do. The world will tell you an array of different things that it thinks that you need to do with your life. But God has something special. God has something special. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Very familiar verse. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Listen, God has something special for you to do. Brother Chad, I've messed up. I've messed something up in my life. God still has, if you're still on this earth, there's still a reason, there's still a purpose for you being here. Okay? Every one of you, every one of us. Okay? I don't care from the youngest person in here to the oldest senior saint, there is a purpose for you to still be here. Because God, listen, I believe this. God has an appointment for your birth. And we'll look at some of the other appointments later. But you have two more appointments you will keep in life. Two more appointments you will keep. But an appointment for our birth. Ecclesiastes, if you'll flip over to Ecclesiastes. It talks about different times of life. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Verse number 2. Let's read verse number 1. "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die." A time to be born. God has given every one of us a time to be born. Right. Every one of us. You have been born for a certain purpose. Okay? I don't know what that purpose is. A lot of us, you don't know what the purpose is. I don't know everything that God has for me in my life. I don't have this, you know, this fortune teller thing that tells me what I'm supposed to do the next day. I do know I'm supposed to do what's right. But I don't have a specific will of God, okay? But there is something for us to do. Let me say, young people, do not waste your life. The things of this world are only good for this world. Job chapter number 7, flip back to Job chapter 7. Job Job understood that his time on earth was short. Job chapter number 7, we're going to look at verse number 1. Job says, and here, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? We were going by the cemetery just north of Linton the other day. I had to run a package to a young lady, and I had the kids in the car. And we go by the big cemetery there north of Linton, and Gwen's looking out the window, and she yells from the back of the car, "Mommy! Somebody died." And we're like, yes, lots of somebody's died. And you know, you could go to those gravestones and you could look there. On most gravestones are two appointment dates. The first appointment date was the day that they were born. And that's the first appointment. And all of us, we all have that opportunity. God has given every one of us, every one of you young men, God has given you that opportunity. Every one of you young ladies, God has given you the opportunity to live life. You can go to some gravestones and it could have been for a couple hours. But that was their appointed time. You could go to some gravestones and it could have been for 15, 16 years. That was their appointed time. You can go to some 80, 90 years. That was their appointed time. You have to keep that appointment. In our text that we read this morning, we have the story of two men. Two kings. Two people of royal blood. They have been both given great responsibility in life. In that regard, they are not that much different from each other. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Ahab is the king of Israel. They've both given much responsibility. A responsibility of leading a nation. They've been given the same opportunity, the opportunity to serve God or not serve God. Let me say this morning, young people and adults, myself included, we are not unlike that in the same regard. You and the person you're sitting next to are given the same, many of the same opportunities in life. You've been given the same opportunity to come to church this morning. Okay? You've been given the same amount of air this morning to breathe. As a person sitting next to you. You've been given the same amount of seconds of life this morning. Okay? But what's different? What's different from two young ladies that may be sitting next to each other, or two young men that are sitting next to each other, or two adults that are sitting next to you? What's the difference? The difference is the choices that you make. That's the difference. We've been given same opportunities in a lot of ways. Brother Chad, my life's different than their life. Very true. And I'm sure Jehoshaphat had different parents than Ahab. And Jehoshaphat grew up in a different culture than Ahab. But they were both required to show something for their life. At the end of your life, what are you going to die and leave behind? I referenced Alexander the Great this morning in Sunday school. Alexander the Great died and he left some stuff behind. A legacy. Great men went to see his casket. One of the men, I don't remember, I think it was one of the Caesars, they went to pay homage to Alexander the Great, and they were putting a wreath on his sarcophagus, is that how you say that? Sarcophagus, or his mummy, and they broke the nose off of it. I thought that was hilarious. I just, you know, all the care and meticulous and somebody paying homage, but you know, he's dead. He's dead. You know, somebody the Bible says was a great man was John the Baptist. There was none greater on earth than John the Baptist. None greater born of woman than John the Baptist. That means John the Baptist was a greater man than Alexander the Great. Okay? But they've both been born. These two. One thing is true about these two men. They both have a life to live and choices to make in this life. They both have been born. They both have kept their first appointment. It was no accident that they were born. Just like Jeremiah, God knew them in the womb. They both could have chosen to serve God. And everybody in this room, you have kept your first appointment. However, nobody in this room has kept your second one, because you would not be here. Your second appointment in life is to die. It's to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "For it is appointed unto man wants to die. It's coming. The interesting thing about life, and it's kind of a depressing thing, but the moment you are born, you have begun to die. Every day that you get older, and young people, this is a hard concept for you to wrap your mind around, because, Brother Chad, I'm not an adult yet. It's hard for you to wrap your mind around with that. But the day that you're born, you begin to die. And that's true. The older folks in here could say yes, and things don't work the way they used to. Okay? But the day you are born, you have begun to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, we've already looked at that. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. We are in a constant state of death. When you are born, I believe that God has set the time for you to die. And every day that you live is a day closer to keeping your appointment with death. You must keep that appointment. You have no choice. Why, Brother Chad? Because the wages of sin is death. If you could live a perfect life, but none of us can. As soon as you came out of the womb, you were a sinner. Okay? For the wages of sin is death. And because of that sin, you must die. I must die. And that day for me is drawing closer and closer. It's for you also. It's drawing closer. Jehoshaphat, let's get back to our story. Jehoshaphat goes into battle with an unlikely ally. Let me just say this. Jehoshaphat was not where he should have been. Jehoshaphat was rubbing shoulders with the wrong crowd. Jehoshaphat had no business being with Ahab, the man that the Bible says did sell himself to do wicked. He should not have been with Ahab. Young people, let me say this, and we're going to see this later in the life of Jehoshaphat. It almost cost Jehoshaphat his life because he was with the wrong crowd. Brother Chad, it doesn't matter. I can hang with these people and it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But Jehoshaphat, one of these men, they're getting ready to go into battle, and Jehoshaphat goes to Ahab and he says, Ahab, we need to, before we decide that we're going to go to Ramoth Gilead, we need to find a man of God to tell us if this is a wise choice. And you know, if you're going to make what important decisions in life, you should probably go to the man of God about it. Okay? Pastor, he's wise. Okay? And also, if you just listen to what he preaches, it takes care of 95% of it. Okay? It really does. Or the books that he writes, 95% of it, easily. Okay? But they go to the man of God, and Ahab, it's funny, he brings in all these people, and he brings in the people that he wants to tell him what he wants to hear. And that's what we do as human beings. We go for counsel to your friends because your friends tell you what you want to hear. Okay? You only go to those in authority that will tell you what you want to hear. And that's what Ahab did. But Jehoshaphat, he smells a rat. And he says, wait a second, is there not a... It's funny, he says, is there not a man of God that we can ask? And Ahab says, yes, there's this guy, his name's Micaiah. But all he ever tells me is this bad news. Well, if you come to church and all that pastor ever, you know, all that you think pastor ever says is negative and he's always on my case, let me just say this. Micaiah was always on Ahab's case, but why? Oops. Why? Because of his wickedness. If it always seems like he's always on my case, listen, preacher doesn't sit down and write messages with people's names on them. He doesn't do that. He preaches the word of God, and if it hits, what's the saying? You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, and the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Okay? And that's what pastor does. Okay? And you got to be careful about well, I don't like him. Why not? Hang on. Why not? Well, Ahab didn't like this guy. And Micaiah comes up and he said, let's go back to 1 Kings. I'm going to show what Micaiah says. 1 Kings chapter number 22. So they bring this man in, a prophet of God. Ahab doesn't like what he says. So he says he's going to put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. That's what Ahab said to do with Micaiah. All right? And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Micaiah said, all right, if you return in peace, then God, I'm not a prophet of God. If you return at all. That's interesting. If you return at all. And I don't know what Ahab thought the morning that they got up to go to battle. I was wondering, what was Ahab thinking? Because he goes to Jehoshaphat. Now, this is what a good friend does for you. All right, guys? This is what a good friend does. They say, okay, we're going into battle. You need to dress like a king because they always try to kill the kings first. I'm going to dress in the disguise so they can't tell I'm a king. But you go dress as a king, and we're going to go into battle together. That's a good friend. That's somebody that's always rooting for you, putting you first. Okay? So that's what they decide. So Jehoshaphat puts on his king garments, and Ahab disguises himself. He says, I'm just going to look like anybody else so that they won't pick me out in the fight. So they're going into this battle, and the king of Syria must have had a grudge against Ahab, probably rightfully so, and he tells the captain of 32 of his chariots, he says, all right, I don't want you to fight with the strong men. I don't want you to fight with the weak men. I only want you to find the king of Israel, Ahab, and I want you to kill him. I want you to kill him. So all the men of the chariots, they went out, and they start the battle in array, and they start fighting, and blood's going everywhere, and exciting stuff. And Jehoshaphat's on his chariot. And all of a sudden, king of Syria, his men see Jehoshaphat. They said, there he is. There's the man we're supposed to kill. And they surround him. Now, Jehoshaphat knows something is not right at this point. Okay? He is surrounded by enemy soldiers, and they're about to kill him. They're about to kill him. He is the most wanted man at this point. Now, the Bible says something very interesting. Look at verse number 32. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Let me just say this. This was not Jehoshaphat's appointed time to die. This was not his time. Could he have died? Let me say this. I believe Jehoshaphat was a few words away from dying right here. Jehoshaphat was doing something he was not supposed to do. Jehoshaphat, if you would, was living in a life of sin. He was an ally with Ahab, a man that was a wicked man. But you know what Jehoshaphat did here? The Bible says Jehoshaphat cried out. I wonder if Jehoshaphat says, oh God, please save me. Jehoshaphat realized he was not where he should have been. Listen, do we mess up? Does Brother Chad mess up? Absolutely. I do. But you know the difference between the two men here today that we're looking at, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, is one of them said, I know where I'm at, and I know I shouldn't be here. God, can you help me? Listen, you're going to mess up. Young men, young ladies, you're going to mess up sometimes. But you need to go to God. You need to go to God. Could this have been Jehoshaphat's day to die? Could have been. I taught in Sunday school 2 weeks ago about changing the mind of an unchangeable God. And you know, sometimes God has an appointment for you to die. And the way you live your life can change your appointment. King Hezekiah, he was about to die. And King Hezekiah prayed and asked God that he would give him some more time. And God gave him 15 more years of life. 15 more years. Okay? 15 more years of life. You know, young men, young ladies, you dishonor your mom and dad. The Bible says that the ravens of the valley will pluck your eye out and the young eagle shall eat it. You want to live a long life? God says you want to prolong your appointment where you have to meet death? You can honor your mom and dad. You want to live a short life? I wonder if Alexander the Great, he only lived to be 32 years old. I wonder if Alexander the Great despised his mother. I wonder. But an appointment with death. Jehoshaphat is surrounded by enemy soldiers and cries out, and God saves him. If you've messed up, you must realize your state. If you've sinned, you must realize your state and go to God. You know, I wonder what Ahab thought that morning. I wonder if he had this, I don't know how to say it, premonition, this bad, you know, sometimes you just got a bad feeling that something's going to happen. I wonder if he got up that morning and said, man, something bad's going to happen today. And so, I know what I'll do. Jehoshaphat, you put on these king garments, and I'm just going to dress like a normal soldier. I'm going to cheat death today. Listen, if it's your appointment with death, there is no cheating death. There is no cheating. Young people, we can go out here to the, we can go out here to Peavy, we can go out here to Lebanon, we can go to any cemetery, and there are young people in the ground that thought they could cheat death. You will not cheat death. You can't do it. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Everybody's day is coming. Young people, yours is coming just like mine. You will die. So our first appointment is at our birth. Our second appointment is at our death. The third appointment I want you to look at this morning is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Go back there with me. You know, Elijah, the chapter before, in chapter number 21, Elijah told Ahab, he said, Ahab, you've killed Naboth. And you know what's going to happen? Is you're going to die, and your blood will be licked up by dogs where Ahab's blood was licked up. Say, Brother Chad, what happened to Ahab? You never finished it. Oh, it was an accident. It was an accident. An archer. He was getting away. Ahab was good. Jehoshaphat had tricked him. They had no clue who Ahab was. He cheated death, or so he thought. And then an accident happened. An archer, an unnamed archer, drew his bow back at a venture, randomly. Like a lot of times they did. Accuracy was not as big a thing as quantity of arrows. He drew his bow back, and just an accident happened, and his arrow went, and it hit Ahab. And Ahab standing in his chariot, bleeding out. Why? Was it an accident? No, it was an appointment. It was an appointment. And isn't it funny how the chariot driver drove to the same spot that Naboth's blood was spilled on the ground? And they started washing the chariot out. And all that blood, I believe Ahab bled to death. You realize how much blood's involved in bleeding to death? Quite a bit. He bled to death in that chariot. And they're washing that blood out, and the dogs come, and they start licking the watered blood up. His appointment with death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Brother Chad, that's the last appointment, right? No. It's not the last appointment. Everyone will have three appointments. Your appointment at birth, your appointment at death, and then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 gives us the third appointment. Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. And that's all I've been saying the whole time. It's appointed unto man once to die. But there's a second part to this verse. The Bible says, but after this, the judgment. Everyone has an appointment with the judge. You have an appointment at your birth, and all of you have kept that. Thankfully, you have an appointment at your death, and none of you have kept that, thankfully. But all of us, myself included, I will have an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the judge. When Ahab was forced to keep his appointment, it was not an accident that he died. He was appointed to die. Ahab was then to keep and will keep another appointment, and that is the great judge. Ahab sold himself to sin. Jehoshaphat, if you read about Jehoshaphat, followed the ways of Asa, his father, and did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Was he perfect, Brother Chad? No, not by a long shot. But he tried. He tried. You know, I'm glad that God puts the lives of people in the Bible who sin but who still, the Bible says, they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. I've not always done right. I've got away from God at times, many times. Jehoshaphat, when he went to battle with Ahab, was not in the will of God. But God gave him a second chance. Look up here. God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. Brother Chad, I've just messed up. I've sinned. But God still loves you. You know, I was thinking about this, and I may preach something. You know, I was thinking about in my truck last night. I was driving here and there. God wants to use you, but God doesn't need to use you. Think about that. God doesn't need me. You know, if I died right now, it'd be like somebody taking their finger and sticking it in a cup of water and pulling their finger back out. That's how much I leave, an impression I leave on this world is somebody sticking their finger in a cup of water and pulling it back out. Does it leave an impression? Temporarily and very temporarily. God doesn't need me. I'm privileged to be used by God. Amen. In whatever small way I can be used, it's an honor for me to be used by God. And young people, it's an honor if God wants to use you. You've been given an honor position to be allowed to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? When you get a selfish mentality, that's a very dangerous place to be. But I'm glad that Jehoshaphat still did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse number 43. Luke chapter 12. Brother Chad, what about this judgment? Everyone will stand before God, and you will give an answer to what you have done in this life. We are given a parable here, Luke chapter 12, verse 43. The Bible says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For, listen to this, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God is no different. Young people, look at me. You know the danger of coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? There is a danger. There is a danger. You have been given too much. You have been given a pastor that loves you, a Sunday school teacher that loves you. Many of you have been given parents that come here and that love you. You've been given much, and much will be required. You stand before God, and you know the reason people have asked me, Brother Chad, are you called to preach? No, I don't really feel like I'm called to preach. Are you called to pastor? No, I'm not a pastor. I don't feel like God's called me to do that. I don't think you look in life anywhere and, oh, this is the, I don't have that. Brother Chad, why do you do what you do? Because my mom and dad's given me too much. My pastor has given me too much. God has given me too much. For me to do less than what I do, and I should do more, for me to do less than what I do would be an injustice to God. I've been given too much. Young people, a lot of you have been given an awful lot. Don't abuse that. Because to whom you will stand before the judge, life doesn't end with death. Even as a saved person, life doesn't end with death. Pastor Ross always said, live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. That's true. Live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. Brother Chad, can you give an illustration of somebody that's standing before a judge? Yeah, let's go to Luke chapter 16. We've got two men here. Another two men. Huh. We had two men in 1 Kings chapter 22. One of them dies that day. He has an appointment with death. And that day, he had an appointment with the judge. The other one died later, but he still had an appointment with the judge. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. There's two men here. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Oh, that's the end of them. So if you get saved, that's good. You get to go to heaven. If not, you're buried. No. Look at the next verse. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know what? They've had part of their appointment with the judge. Some of it will come later. Some of it will come later. We read that in Revelation. But they are being judged right now for what they have done. And let me say, folks, if you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus, God doesn't look at my works to determine whether I go to heaven. God looks at the fact of whether I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior as to whether I go in heaven. You may be a good person in here and split hell wide open. Well, the rich man may have been a good person and he split hell wide open. Those that are not saved, you've never accepted. God doesn't look at your good works and your bad works and weigh them out to see if you get to go to heaven. God looks for one thing, and that's to see if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. And if you have never done that, you will stand before the judge, and the judge will condemn you to hell. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. This is the final judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, those that have kept their appointment with death. That's these. Small and great, boys and girls, men and women. Death is no discriminator of race, of gender, of position. It is no discriminator. They all stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. Judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is your third appointment. Those of you that are saved have something to look forward to. Because the King of Kings, the Judge of Judges, he'll look at your life and he'll, the Bible says the books were opened. So I wonder if God looks at your life and says, all right, here's the good things that they've done. Here's the good things these young men have done. Here's the bad things these young men have done. And I wonder if he gets ready to condemn you because none of our good can send us to heaven. But another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they say, let me see here. Let me see if his name's there. And they look for your name in that book of life. And if your name is not there, you will spend an eternity in hell. An eternity in hell. Everyone in this room has kept one appointment. Your next one is coming. And the third follows shortly after that. What you do, listen to this, what you do between your first and your second appointment will determine what your third one will be. You do not have a chance between your second and third appointment to change anything. The only opportunity any of us has is what we decide to do between the time of our birth and the time of our death. I wonder if Ahab got up that morning and thought he was going to die. I was on my way to the Seed Line Project yesterday morning, and a mile and a half down the road, I passed a van that was sitting on the side of the road, and it had been wrecked. The van had been wrecked. Nobody was standing outside, you know, no emergency personnel. I thought that it had been wrecked sometime during the night, and, you know, they just hadn't come and picked it up yet. Nobody was there. I drove past it, and I couldn't get it off my mind. I was like, man, something didn't seem right about that. And so I turned around, and I went back, and there was a young man standing outside the van. He had gotten out. He had fallen asleep, drove off, and hit the end of a culvert, flipped his van probably 3 times, and his van was sitting there on the side of the road. The only thing that was wrong with it, he had a little scratch on his forehead. Wonder if he got up that yesterday morning or wherever. Wonder if he thought he would die that day. Obviously he didn't. It wasn't his appointment. But if it would have been his appointment to die, wonder if he's ever accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Something can happen that quick and life is over. Brother, we had an accident. Our church family had an accident. You know, stuff happens. You have no time. Listen, you have no time between your second appointment and your third appointment. You must be saved before it's too late. Brother Chad, what do I have to do? It's easy. God didn't make it complicated, but God did require humility. And that's what most people can't get past. You can't get past your stinking pride. Well, I don't need that. That's not the way it'll work. It's the way it worked for Ahab. It's the way it worked for Jehoshaphat. That's the way it worked for the beggar. It's the way it worked for the rich man. God is no respecter of persons. If you've never been saved, after your death, you will be judged based on not your works necessarily, but on your rejection or your acceptance of Jesus Christ. The penalty of rejection is hell. You know, for us that are saved, death really holds no fear for us. I'm not afraid to die.
Right.
Honestly, I can say that with, I have no, I may not like the process of death.
Right.
You know, but I'm not afraid to die. I am not afraid to die at all. And in a way, I've already crossed that bridge. Okay? I've already crossed that. But death should hold a challenge for us. You're all on earth for a reason still. I'm on earth for a reason. Jehoshaphat was given another opportunity. Even after he disobeyed, he was given another opportunity. Have you been given another opportunity? The young man yesterday morning, was he given another opportunity? I believe he was. Was it an accident that Ahab got killed that day?
No.
I believe it was an appointment. Wonder on how many tombstones of the people sitting in this room, wonder if tomorrow is the last date that's on that tombstone. It could happen to me. I mean, just like that. God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me another day of life. God doesn't owe me. I could drop dead right here, and God would be perfectly just and perfectly right. He owes me nothing. But also remember this, young people, too much is given, much is required. I've been given an awful lot. You have been given an awful lot. But most importantly is the fact that have you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Was it an accident that Ahab died? No. It was an appointment. It was an appointment. Is your appointment today? Nobody knows. Is your appointment tomorrow? You could have 10 years and you could have 10 hours. Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Brother Chad, I've never done that before. Well, today is an opportunity.
Amen.
An opportunity that you can be saved. I don't know who's sitting here. But God knows, and God sees your heart. And you, the Holy Spirit, and listen, you're going to have this inside. It's going to be a turmoil.
Right.
I know something's not right. And if that's inside, you need to get that fixed. I remember what it was like to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes people don't understand what conviction is. It's not a voice that you hear. It's like something grabs your heart and just squeezes it. That's the best way I can convey conviction. So, Brother Chad, I'm sitting here and I don't know that I'm saved. You want to get taken care of. You don't know when your next appointment is. You've only had one. You've got another one coming. And then judgment after that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Bow our heads and close our eyes. Could you have an accident this afternoon? Possibly. But it might be your appointment. We have no way of knowing. If you've never been saved before, you say, Brother Chad, I don't know 100% sure that if I was to die right now, if my appointment with death was this afternoon, Brother Chad, I do not know 100% sure that I would be saved. There's an opportunity for you this morning to be saved. There's an opportunity to be saved.